Okay, so hello lovelies. It's Ada here. It's a lovely, if a bit windy, Sunday morning. I've already been out trying to record something for the ladies. No idea how it turned out with the wind blowing all around me. But I figured it's time I finally answer your questions. I realize it's way overdue. I'm sorry it took so long. But here it is. Okay, so if you sent your question through the private message, I assume it was because you didn't want your name out there. So I'll keep them to myself, okay? Question number one. Jak wiele żenujących wiadomości prywatnych i niezamawianych zdjęć penisów dostałaś? That's a good question. And actually, it makes me wonder how many of you speaks Polish out there. Maybe more than I realize. Forgive me if I'm going to keep to English in this recording, just so I don't have to answer the same questions twice. So, the lovely person here wants to know how many cringy messages and unasked for dick pics I got. And the answer would be less than you might imagine. I don't know if that's because Adi is not as popular as some of the performers here, or if I just got extremely lucky. But if we're talking stuff connected to GWA and other erotic recordings, I got like one dick pic, and that's after already shutting the guy because he was being cringy. I didn't block him because whatever, I just can choose not to reply to him anymore. But generally, guys can take a cue, and if they don't, I either unleash little Adi on them, not many people can handle her, or just stop replying. Plus, I'm trying to keep my mind open and give you all a benefit of a doubt. Unless you give me a play-by-play report of what you were doing while listening to the audios, I'm going to take that you mean it as a compliment. Don't dare take it as an invitation to start sending me dirty pics, because I'm just not into that. Okay, now I got a whole list of questions. What was the inspiration for you to get into BDSM world? Never thought on that. I guess it wasn't like a conscious choice. More like something I realized I found appealing. If I look back, I always enjoyed stories that involved certain traits that are present in BDSM. I couldn't name it then, but now I found same things in BDSM. I'm sorry if it's not clear, but I can't really put it into words or coherent thoughts myself yet, okay? I'm still finding my place here. Still figuring out who I am and how and what works for me. So I'm sorry if that doesn't answer a question, but it won't get better than this. What is your role in BDSM? I mean, are you sub or dom? I'm a brat. For the longest time, I thought Adi was just being quirky, because much as I love someone taking control, I can't stay, I mean, submitting all the time, being all compliant all the time doesn't appeal to me at all. I just can't do that. And for longest time, I thought I was just quirky. Took a special person to make me realize that I'm not, I'm just a brat, which means I need the right dom, someone who would allow me those freedoms, of those moments of disobedience, but at the same time keep me in firm hand and will have control over me. So I'm a brat. That's like the main part of me. But I'm a brat with switching tendencies. So I do enjoy an occasional moment of being in charge. I think it's that switchy streak that makes it impossible for me to be full sub. With the right dom, I'm a brat. I will challenge them, I will make use of my freedom. And if I met another sub, I might take that dom role with them, for them, usually. That happened in the past, so. Yep, in short, I'm a brat with switching tendencies. Next question. Are you in a real BDSM relationship? If not, were you? I guess that depends on your definition on real, on your definition of BDSM, and on your definition of relationship. So, pending that, yep, Adi was. Nope, I'm not going to elaborate on that. Are you heterosexual or bisexual? That's a tricky question. Because I don't believe in labels, okay? I think the one time I tried to put a name on it, I landed on demisexual, which would be I need to be into you to be into you. But if we stick like to the, you know, more general names, I think I'm into girls. I love my guy's voice. I certainly watch lots of, well, not a lot, but you know, like a lot of the porn I watch is straight. It probably comes from the fact that growing up, I didn't know other combinations of people were possible. It took me quite a long time to realize I'm into girls. So fantasy-wise, imagination-wise, yes, I enjoy both. But if I think about real-life relationships, I've never been a guy. So between heterosexual and bisexual, I'm none. I'm a lesbian. And that feels pretty good. What is your favorite kink or fetish? Ha. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that makes me going. I never really could get the distinction between kink and fetish and what's what. Guys, I'm really still learning about myself, about this whole world. I'm really into bondage. And it doesn't even need to be physical bondage, you know, just knowing that something will happen and that I can't do anything to stop it. Just knowing that something is happening, the anticipation of it and being helpless against it, that really gets me going. And that's one of the first things I discovered ages ago, while I was still in school. What else? I might have a thing for, well, if not fully public, then at least semi-public places. that risk of being caught, of just pushing those rules. Yeah, let's stick with that. I'm into bondage mostly. If I were to turn this mic on and just think on it for a moment, I would probably come up with other stuff that gets me going. But I just can't. I just can't remember anything of the bad. Obviously, you might have noticed from the audience, I might have a thing for hands. Like, not the point that I would fetishize hands, but I find them sexy. Feet worship, definitely. With me being the doer, not the other way around. I kind of like spankings, but that's again tying up to that first thing I told you, that being put in a position where something will happen to me and I can't do a thing about it. So yeah, that's that. Jeez, we're only halfway through this list and I remember there being a whole other on the other places. Have you ever considered writing GWA scripts? Yes, as you might have noticed, I already posted one of my own writings. Well, not as a script, but as an audio. The one with the safe word. I could really appreciate if you let me a comment after listening to it, because I am quite happy with how it turned out. But I am still learning, and any sort of feedback is mighty helpful. Will I write scripts that I would publish? Probably not. Will I write something for myself or possible collaboration? Yes, that is happening right now. So it might take ages, but there will be more stuff done beginning to end by me. Are you a talkative and sociable person, or are you rather shy in real life? Again, depends. if we talk as strangers, bumping into each other, and you start chatting me up, I will be awkward, I will be shy, I might, you know, just smile and nod at you. And even meetings with my friends after a long time no see usually start like that, with a bit of awkwardness and quiet. Silences, sorry. But if we find common topic, if you can get me going, if we're friends and just feeling safe with each other, I can be quite chatty and loud, and I will poke fun at you, and I will do all sorts of, you know, just teasings and jokings. Someone said that introverts are like gifts. You just need to unwrap one. So outside, you know, that's who I am. But when you get the privilege of unwrapping me, you're getting a whole lot more. Do you enjoy company of other people, or are you rather loner? I don't mind being on my own, even right now, on this weekend away. Yes, I had a lovely meet for tea and games with my little sister last morning, but then, you know, I'm just on my own. In the hotel, B&B actually. I'm slowly learning how to function in society, in, you know, social situations. Because that is a bit of a challenge for me sometimes, like, this day, get a complimentary breakfast. A couple years back, I probably would, and it's not like a buffet style. You go into the cafe downstairs. You say you stayed in the B&B and they give you a separate menu and you order from that. A couple years back, I would probably skip it. It wouldn't matter that I paid for it. I just go to the Mac and, you know, order stuff from the kiosk or whatever, because that would be easier. Today I had no problem getting into a cafe, you know, taking a seat. Was a bit awkward at the beginning, but I managed. That was a challenge for myself that I'm learning to overcome. But yeah, back to the question. I don't mind being on my own. I don't mind being with people, as long as it's not a big group. 2-3 people, that's a lot for that, that's enough for me. More than that, crowds are very exhausting. I may enjoy it at the time, but after the meeting's done, I need a lot of time to recharge. So I don't know if that answers questions, but I'm not a loner, but I'm okay being in just my own company. Have you got any hobby except GWA? Oh boy, how much time do you have? Because I'm one of those people that can't just stick to one hobby. I got loads of stuff going, not all at the same time. I'm usually switching from one to the other. If I get bored with one thing, I just choose something else to do. At the time being, I crochet, something I learned last year. If not that, then I cross stitch. Small things, big things. So there's that. I used to dabble in writing. What else I do? Well, there's of course the usual, you know, book reading and stuff. I used to do video reviews of military rations. Many I quite fast I realized that it's not really for me, and I ended up lots of raw material on my hard drive. I play Pokemon Go. I used to play geocaching. That still happens time to time. Yeah, let's say that's the first things that come to my mind. Probably there's other stuff, and there will be other stuff, because I say I just can't do one thing at a time. I like playing board games for example, and every once in a while I go for print and plays once when I, you know, you get files to print out, cut, glue and put together yourself. So lots of mostly creative or semi-creative stuff. What is your favorite color? That's changing. Okay, let's say blue. Okay, blue. My favorite color is blue. Okay, and that's be the end of it. These are my questions for you. I'd be glad if you answer them. Whew! I answered. Halfway done. Okay, so that was that, and then I remember there being a whole long list of questions you've left in the anonymous forms, only you sign them with names, so they're not really anonymous. And if you left me your name under it, as I said, you left it for me to call you by name. Okay, so first off, gentlemen, fine, only because it's my first time asking on MAA, what's your idea of the perfect first date? And that question came from the Tigress. My idea of the perfect first date, there's not no such thing as a perfect first date, and if you want me to it to be perfect, then it will most certainly be not perfect, because I will, I'm a perfectionist. If it's something that matters and something I can screw up, I usually get so tense and wound up that I will screw it up. Okay, I don't think I would just, you know, go on a date with strangers, so I can discount that scenario. So let's say we know each other for a while and you ask me out. By then you probably know me, so you might know it's a good idea to get me distracted, to get me to, you know, relax, so we'd probably end up either doing some fun activities, or it would be like a theater date or something. Not cinema, because cinemas are too loud for me, but theater. Even just something small. You know, something to get me to relax and get it off my mind that it's first date, it's happening, and I can screw it up. I think it's less about what we would do and more about the person and how we would feel together. So sorry, but I can't really reply to that one. Next question from Tigris again. If you feel like skipping this won't hold it against you, going from... what's your biggest fetish? And I don't just mean in general, I mean what really makes you tick. The things that make you unable to stop your body from reacting. That's what I said before. Bondage. Confession. Yesterday morning, I was on the train going to... where I am right now, chatting with this guy who, you know, messaged me after listening to Addis audios. I think he mentioned tickles, and from tickles, which I don't really enjoy because I'm too ticklish, we went to that it would be best to secure me in place so I won't struggle too much, that I don't, you know, wiggle my way away. And let's say from there the journey was a bit tricky, because just the idea of being secured, and he went into details like, you know, spread eagled ankles and wrists and whatnot. Let's say I wished the train wasn't so darn full. Yeah, just the idea of being, as I said, secured, of being unable to move, or do anything about what someone might do to you, even if they won't do anything. Okay? Even if it would just be words or the idea that something might happen. That helplessness is... Yeah, and it doesn't even need to be like, you know, tied down, whatever. There's one... Screw it, I'm going to advertise her. It's one audio by Zita Midnight, and I believe it's a script feel of a script by Sandy Stockings. There was like this pair of scripts about succubus and warrior or something in a bug. Unless I'm mixing that up with something else. And succubus at one point get the warrior all like, you know, wrapped in herself, in the succubus. And I was like, God, yes, please. I didn't know I want this, but I want this. And in a way, that's sort of bondage too, you know, when you're so wrapped in the other person that you can't move. And, oh, fuck. Okay, let's move on, because I still need to get in that on the train a bit later today, and yeah, that. How long have you and Zita been friends, and is there a funny story about how you met? It's a question from Zane. Thank you, dude. I wanted to share this story, but I didn't have an excuse so far. How long do I know her? It's been a bit over 2 years, but I'm counting in from the day I first heard her voice, okay? So we didn't know, we didn't meet each other exactly back then. And it's not a story, it's not really a funny story, but it's a story of how it's important to keep your mind and heart open, because you might meet the best people in your life in the least unexpected places. Like, okay, so that first time I heard her voice, some of you may know, I've heard her on Literotica. It was One for the Girls audio, and I can't give you a date, but it was like last January weekend. I was freaking out because I had I had something scheduled for the following Tuesday, and I had to do whatever I could to keep myself distracted from thinking about that, or else I would just be terrified. So what I would do? I was listening to shitload of sexy audios while doing jigsaw puzzles. And here's a kicker, I don't normally listen to girls' voices. One, because I was only on Literatica back then, and the Girls for Girls audios are very rare there, even rarer than on GWA. But also because I don't mind listening to FRM stuff, okay? But a lot of female voices are too high for my liking, they just irk me. So I wouldn't, and I don't know what happened that weekend. I decided to give it a try, and from the moment I heard her voice, I was a goner. Like, it just affected me on some physical level. Adi was on her knees from the very beginning. So that's how I first heard Zita's voice. It took a couple comments and some messages. I remember first message, like, not a comment on Literatica, but you can send a private message to them. I decided on Thursday that I want to write it. Couldn't get myself to do that till Sunday morning. And Saturday mornings are when I usually go on a grocery run with my parents, you know, helping them carry the stuff. So every time we stopped to wait in the queue or something, I'll just take my phone out, write a sentence or two, make sure I'm not writing anything I would regret later. And it took like till dinner time to actually send this message. But from there, it just turned into something else. It took us a moment to, you know, to make sense of it, or to establish what we are. Adi was obviously having some ideas, as you know, a lot of you are, when listening to other performers. But in the end, we landed on friends, and and we're friends, and it's a friendship I never thought I would find in a place like Literatica, because let's be honest, I've been there for ages. I remember listening to stuff while I was commuting to uni. If you want time frames, that was when Gay Force was starting out. I remember some Aussie dude, some Aussie guy starting out. I remember British Filth still publishing under his own name. So, and that wasn't my beginnings on Literatica. I was there before that. And throughout the time, I never thought about even leaving a comment. And Zita just got me hook, line, and sinker, and I don't regret that, not for a moment. So yeah, not a funny story, but a reminder to always keep my mind and heart open, because I might find most wonderful people in weirdest places. That. And now we got a whole long line of questions signed by someone naming themselves Me. Are you sure you don't have some problem, honey? Okay, off the top. I'm not sure if that's the order of questions, or is that, if that's the order you put the questions in, but that's how Google gave them to me. Star Wars versus Star Trek. Dun dun dun! Stargate! Believe it or not, I have not seen a single full movie from Star Wars. Yes, that's possible. No, I've seen bits and pieces, separate scenes, but not enough to make a judgment. And I've only just started watching Star Trek. Watched 2, maybe 3 episodes so far. So, out of those 2, it will be Stargate with Samantha Carter, obviously. I mean, Amanda Tapping, but, you know, whether as a character or as an actress and a person, she was one of my first girl crushes. So, Stargate. SG-1. Atlantis wasn't bad too. I never got to watching the last series, that was Universe or something. But there was no Amanda Tapping in there, so I had no reason to. I'm nothing if not consistent. What anime, if any, would you recommend to someone who's never watched any before? Now, that would depend on why they haven't watched any before. Because some people, you know, just would discount it, because it's animated, so it's for kids, and whatnot. Some just are not interested in animation at all. Some, you know, don't like voices, because we both know, we all know, Japanese voices are a bit high on the scale, especially in the animes, because of the characters. I can give you some titles I enjoyed. One of the first things that got me really seriously interested was Haibana Renme. I'm not sure of the English title. Basically, it's kind of inspired by Haruki Murakami's book. Well, it was something about on the end of the world, town on the end of the world. Something like that. I'm sorry, I can't give you a title right now. But basically, you got this town surrounded by a wall. There's no more people there. And there's Haibana there. Haibana are like people who died and are kind of reborn. They break out from eggs in this house. they got wings and halos, like angels, but they're not angels. The wings are sort of barometer of the state. Like if you're a good Hibana, you got wide wings. But if you start doing something wrong, then that something wrong is never fully explained. You could call it, if you're sinning, your wings get black. And basically, Hibana are there for a set time till they realize something, and then they get the day of light. And I don't know why, but there's something so beautiful in this story. And it's a pretty distinct style of drawing, so it might not be for everyone, but I loved it for the music, for the characters, for the story. And one thing that comes to mind especially is one of the main characters, Reki. There's two girls like main characters, and everyone says, some people might say that Rakka is the main one because we follow her, but it's actually a story of Reki. And Reki got this, she's got grey wings, she's the only Hibana with grey wings. And last episodes we get to face her fears, we get to face the way she died. She gets to face the saddest, most difficult for her, and it's something that actually it's worth keeping in mind. She's in a situation when she can't save herself. She needs to call out for help, but she can't do that. She's paralyzed with fear. I think she says that. But I called before. What if I call out and no one helps me, if no one is there? Because you know, as long as she doesn't call out, there may be someone, she just won't know. It's a fucking beautiful scene. So Hibana Renme, I loved and I binged all bits or parts of Aria. It's based on manga about undines on in Neo Venetia on Mars. It's basically slice of life with some very gentle, sweet fan service. And then my third love, Maria Samagamiteru, or known short as Marimita, about a school for girls. Yeah, you can imagine there's a lot of girls. Surprisingly, not a lot of Yuri. Some shoujo eye, maybe. But again, it's lovely, lovely slice of life story with some really nice life lessons and relationships that I could find myself in. So those three titles I could recommend. What's your favorite letter? No, I'm serious, like mine is E. I don't have favorite one, but I used to hate capital D, like, you know. Okay, keep that to yourselves, lovelies, but as you might have guessed, Adi is not my real name. My real name starts with D, and for ages, and then my nickname I used to sign my work with starts with the same letter. And for ages, I hated how capital D looked. It was so, you know, puffed and pompous and whatnot, so I would start my nickname with small D, and even correcting people on that, yeah, I'm doing that on purpose, please keep in mind I wanted small D. So I don't like big D, but I don't have a favorite letter. Is that too many questions? Not yet, I think. I still got a lot to drink, so I might just knock myself out if this becomes too much. Does politics give you hives? It gives me freaking hives. Yes, it does. That's why I'm trying to avoid it all the best I can. Like, I'm trying to, you know, keep on top to know what's happening in here, but it's such a freaking mess that I can't even. And the problem is, most of that mess could have been solved if everyone was an adult and could sit down and talk like a proper adult. But instead they just, you know, have to go to extremes, have to get stuck in their positions, and even if those positions don't make sense as a whole, I mean, because everyone gets a bit of the truth in there, okay? no one's fully wrong, and that's a tragedy here. Tell me about your favorite stuffy. My favorite stuffy. I don't think I have one right now. For ages I had this pink teddy bear, super soft and fluffy, and it went through a lot with me. I didn't get it as a kid, I was a bit older. I can't remember when I got it, but I remember crying into it when I was, well, old. Like high school, maybe even uni. And I don't have it anymore. There was this girl, we were long distance for a while, and at some point I sent her that teddy. You know, if I couldn't be there to hug her, to hold her, to dry off her tears, then she would have that teddy as my proxy. Well, then stuff happened, and now that teddy belongs to her child, so that's that. And now I have a big fluffy stuffy donkey. Got it from a friend, don't know why, but it's there, it's lovely. Okay, next question. Would you choose the crazy wildness of a threesome or the intimacy of a one-on-one? me, if you are who you think you are, in your deep trouble, because, you know, he knew not to ask those questions. If we're talking Fantasyland, I might go for crazy, you know, teaming up with someone on one person, or, you know, being sandwiched between two people. It's again that bondage, okay, that being stuck there. But if talking real life, I get overloaded very easily, and I'm very much one-on-one person. I want my whole attention focused on just you. It doesn't matter if you would need to split attention. It's about me being focused fully on you. And yeah, that. If we're talking real life, one-on-one intimacy, because oftentimes for me it doesn't really matter even what we're doing, if it's the right person, it's about them. It's about sharing time, space, and whatever else with that one person than about any other fun. Move on. So what's your favorite color? Oh, I've already done that. And it's still blue. Haven't changed it. Piercings on you or someone else for that matter? Why not? I mean, some of them look weird to me. Like, I find nose piercings or tongue piercings, or if you get them, you know, tunnels in your ears, like, no, thank you, I don't like how it looks. But if that's your thing, you do you. If we were together, I might definitely initiate some, you know, conversation about it. See if we can find some common ground. Because I'm pretty, I don't want to say conservative there, but I like my world to be, you know, and I'm doing air quotes, it's normal, you know, the way it's supposed to be. I'm in two minds about piercings in places like nipples or genitalia. Let's leave it at that. I do see an appeal. It's definitely something I wouldn't do. And actually, I had my ears pierced, but couldn't keep that in. There's some weird issue, whether with my ears or some other inside part of me, that made them unable to heal, even with all the precautions and the right, you know, the right earrings and care. So I had them. I've been meaning to piece them for a while. We had an exam session. I think it was my second year at uni. First group had the oral exam in the morning, then the examiner had to leave for a bit, and we had to wait for at least an hour or two for her to get back. So we had to somehow spend the time, so I was like, okay, come on, let's go with me, I'm going to piece my ears. So I did that while waiting for the exam. I passed the exam, I had my ears, had to take them out after a week or two at most and let them grow over and didn't try it again. Sorry. So what do you consider your favorite hobby? As you might have remember, a couple of minutes ago I mentioned all the list of hobbies I do. I don't have a favorite one. I skip from one to another because I don't want to say I get easily bored, but I need that constant stimulation to keep my mind. I'm sorry, I need that constant stimulation to keep my mind working. And if I just stuck with one, I would get bored too easily. So I don't have a favorite hobby, unless you count Zita as a hobby. Why is a raven like a writing desk? Huh. Because one can be bent over the other to fuck? Oh wait, that's small. Ah, a raven. Have you ever made your own clothing? If scarves count, then yes. Do you have a favorite actor, actress? Not at the time, I think. I used to follow religiously Rama Downey, then it was Julie Andrews. Who doesn't love Julie Andrews? Had a long crush on Amanda Tapping, both as a person and an actress. So no, I got some that I like, but not, as you know, favorite that I would watch everything they come up in and whatever. Does your leaning toward 4F audios reflect real life preferences? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I've already said that I think I'm into girls. So that is easy for me to now just get into any sort of role in audios. I don't mind recording for guys. Problem is that most of the scripts available are either highly acted out scenes that are just not my cup of tea. I lean more towards monologues or, you know, just one-sided conversations, not scenes. Because those I'm still learning how to do properly. All stuff for guys is Joyce. And for various reasons, I feel a ridiculous recording a Joyce. So that probably won't happen anytime soon. And I believe that's end of questions. Thank God. I think I talked way too long. I need to start packing up because I will need to leave the hotel in a few. So yeah, I hope I answered questions. I hope you enjoyed listening to me ramble for so long. Have a lovely time and take care of yourself. Bye.